Get her done. All right, we're rolling.
Get her done.
We're rolling. You can't say that. That's copyrighted. Get her done.
We just spelled it differently.
That's not what she said.
Oh, that's so posh.
And I Louisianized it. It's gator dung.
Gator dung.
Nope. There's a pile of gator dung.
I'll Pittsburgh it. Young's going to get it done? It's Donner.
Pass.
That's what we invented for the Pittsburghers. It's Yun's tube, not YouTube.
Yun's tube. Yun's tube.
All right. We're rolling. And,
this is Dr. Ta.
This is Professor Feather.
This is the Midnight Gadfly.
And this is Dr. Wind Me Up Head. And you are experiencing .com. Oh, fellow inmates. Tonight, we're going to take a little voyage back in time, back into our childhood, and all the things we played with pre-puberty. We're talking about our toys today. That's right, the toys.
No socks.
Memories of our toys. No socks. Socks did not become a toy until you're 12, son. One of my favorite lines in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Toys as
it
kids
melts in your hand.
That's right. I think most of us have had toys in our lives. You know, Christmas, I always was excited to see, you know, what Santa brought me or what the JCPenney catalog had as I got older, or what I could get, you know, the idea. But toys have always been foundational, and as we age, our toys change, you know, and but toys help us escape, and it just gives us something fun to look at. And I don't have some of the toys I used to have as a kid, sadly. I'm glad that there are pages dedicated to them on Facebook, like Hot Wheels. Like, oh, I used to have this Hot Wheel. So we're going to talk about our toys a little bit today. So I'll start, since I was talking about Hot Wheels. I remember loving having my Hot Wheels. I had tons of them. The van with the flames on them, and I keep on seeing all these cool cars. The Snake in the Mongoose track. Yeah, the way the racetrack, you know, so I would just do races, drag races. I'd put this track up on the couch and like weigh it down with a pillow and then have races. You know, I was about 4 years old, I think, 5 years old. Yeah,
I love the Hot Wheels because they had themes too. So like you'd get these three packs of like haunted, you know, like Halloween ones, or they'd have Christmas ones or that's whatever. Yeah, those were a lot of fun because they would try to come up with something different each time. And I love those tracks too because, you know, remember when you could do a loop with it, and certain cars would be too heavy. They get at the top of the loop and they just drop.
I don't know if it was, maybe it was Matchbox that I'm thinking of, but they would come out with like, you know, different vehicles too, those little die-cast ones. Mm-hmm. One of them I really liked was like, it was a, just because at the time it looked like some Japanese tread thing. But anyway, it was a little snowmobile. It was like yellow. Mm-hmm. They had like tank treads on it.
Yeah.
Anyway. But that was I think that was Matchbox.
Matchbox cars tended to look a little more realistic than Hot Wheels.
Yes.
Hot Wheels had a little more flash. They're a little more like race, like souped up cars, because that was really popular. You know, the muscle car era in the late 60s, early 70s, that was Mopar, Primo, you know. With so when those cars came out in, I think, 66, 67,
yes,
they were all like, here's all the hot, sexy sports cars and the muscle cars that we got going on.
I was going to say all the plastic Aurora, you know, all those models that did all the beach, you know, Big Daddy Roth stuff was coming out at the time. You know, the just hot rods that were all exaggerated. Didn't they have, like, what was that comic? Cartoons? Does anybody remember that?
Cartoons.
Anyway. About the same time, you know, you could buy all these bizarre models and stuff like that. And Hot Wheels was doing all the weird little die-cast things that were,
they were still all metal. They got cheap. They started putting the plastic bottoms on. And I remember seeing them, like, I picked one up, like, oh, my God, what's the weight is so light. And I turned over, like, oh, it's plastic. So that disappoints me, Hot Wheels. But there's a huge culture on Hot Wheels now. I see, like men are, like, people are buying them. Like, Hot Wheels has had a huge uptick. I don't know if it's because of viral marketing or people pushing it or Hot Wheels. Mattel is like, I guess we should sell more Hot Wheels. But, you know, people are hoarding and buying and collecting. And some of these Hot Wheels are ridiculously expensive. And I'm like, I never once thought it would be something collectible. Because they're meant to be played with and beat up and scratched and scarred and, you know, blown up with firecrackers and, you know.
We used to trade them. We'd trade them, too. You know, you'd come in with your set, and you'd be like, oh, I'll trade you this for this or whatever. So, yeah.
Did that with marbles, too. You got this one. Yeah.
I'm not that old.
Just saying. I went through a phase of marbles and then became illegal to use Steelies.
The Marvel police are going to show up. Okay, Dr. Tarr, I saw you using
I just wouldn't play. It's like, fuck that. No, you guys can't do that.
Professor Feather, what's some of the toys you remember from the earliest time of your childhood? Back in your pre-professor phase.
Boom.
Yeah, I didn't really have a lot of games that I played. When I was... I guess I was five. My dad and my oldest brother taught me how to play chess. And I started playing chess. I started playing it a lot. I started entering some local contests and winning, you know. And I became the junior chess champion of Muncie, Indiana, 1959.
That's awesome.
That's all bullshit. It would sound good, didn't it?
I was going to say, future rock god.
I was just waiting.
I thought you were breaking it, like, I take these pills that help me sleep.
That's not.
I was going to carry it on out. I was going to become the junior chess champion.
The robot together.
You're talking about your Hot Wheels and stuff. I'll go back before that to slot cars.
No, slot cars. Yeah, we had those.
When I was a kid, slot cars were big, you know.
Yeah.
We had massive amounts and, you know, just all kinds of cars, all kinds of tracks. And
Do you remember the hours and hours spent
fixing the fuckers.
You're right.
Yes. So it all worked.
And then the
car, like, flies off the corner. Like, God damn it.
Do you remember the metal brushes?
Yes. That's the ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it is the little
but
thing.
I remember one that had, like, a... It didn't have brushes, but it had, like, a thing that was attempting to hold it into the track. And it, would, like, moved around. You know, kept trying to keep contact with the... Yeah, anyway, I just remember another car like that.
Yeah, that only the
But I do remember the brushes. I remember that.
Those were the kind I knew, you know,
Yeah, but there's a little stick, a little post that goes inside to keep them in there. Yes. You know, and some of those slot racers now are, like, super fast, and it's insane speeds. But, like, to me, that's not even fun. I can't see the car; it's a blur. Like, what am I doing?
I
loved my slot car stuff, and I had the Tyco, and I had the set.
I had to learn
the glow in the dark. Yeah. You know, the cars that had the headlights. Yeah. That was my favorite thing. Like, my God, working headlights was so cool. Then all the rails glowed in the dark. There was, like, glow in the dark, like, strips on the track, and I could, like, soak it with all the light I could, then turn off the lights and then race my cars with the headlights. Like, It's just absolutely
for a good 15 minutes. Yeah.
Then the smell of the cars,
the electrics,
warm, like mineral smell, like chemical smell. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah.
Speaking of those things, the smells, was it the time machine? You know, you heat them up and they're like little blocks, and you could heat them up in the time, and this creature would unfold, but then you could heat him up again and put him in this thing and scrunch him back up into a square. No one knows this? Yeah. Oh, fuck. I love that one.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. Yeah. No, it was. And it was along the line, because I had one of those too. You remember the creepy crawly shit?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was along those lines, but not like the liquid. This was like, it was kind of cool because you got like five squares. It just looked like these neon colors but anyway, you would heat them up and they would unfold into these different monsters. Yeah.
That's cool.
It was kind of cool. And then you could heat them up and put them in a square again.
When you were doing opium, right?
Right. Exactly.
Okay. I just want to make sure.
He just disappeared.
Me and Vincent Price. Yeah. Of an opium eater, yes.
Guess what you were saying?
Oh, the slot cars, it was funny because I think we were in 7th or 8th grade, and we had these elaborate tracks. Me and a friend of mine who lived across the street, B.J. Gorsuch, and what we would do in order to get these tracks, because, you know, to buy a whole set or new sets is expensive, we would talk our friends into buying them, knowing they would get tired of them real quickly, and then we would buy them off them. And so we would have these giant tracks that we could make, and then we would get together and put the tracks together.
Manipulation. I love it.
But I had a little carrier that had slots in it, you know what I mean? And then it had things for extra parts, because you could pull parts and the brushes would get worn out and all that stuff. That eventually became my pot thing. I don't know if you remember this, back when I was up in the bedroom on South Franklin. I had this little thing. So I had the pot was in the main container, and then I had all my accoutrements and smoking stuff in the little slots and shit. But I love those slot cars. And, you know, you could get really good at them. You could tell each car had its own characteristic. You know what I mean? Like, some would be faster than others, but some would grip better, and some would, you know,
take the turns better.
And I love when you could go on a turn and you'd be on the inside track, and you would automatically gun it, and it would make your car go off and it would knock the other guy's car off. You're like, ha! You know, and that's why when some people are like, I don't want the fucking outside track, man. But
does anybody, Lost in Space, is it Lost in Space before you, kind of?
No, well, I saw it in reruns.
Right. When I was little, they got me a Jupiter 2.
Watching Tar Talk is kind of like watching Rocky.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
From the last movie. There we go.
Yeah. I had to look down. It was like a psych out. Just all of a sudden, I'm like, I want to hear some like acid rock, and like, like, no, man, I'm not tripping, bad. You're harshing my buzz.
Anyway.
You're tiring my buzz. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah, Lost in Space. It also was just like a. I thought it was so cool at the time. He had this like yellow tube. You had the chariot. The chariot was like probably the main feature of the whole thing. But it was like a motorized thing. You put batteries in it. But it followed this yellow track that went from you got like a styrofoam Jupiter 2, you know, and it kind of backs up in there. But anyway, it follows this track. And then you have like to push the air to like divert, you know, make it go a different direction or whatever the fuck. And then you had like the little plastic figures of the Robinson family and the robot. And then you had cardboard cutouts of like the Cyclops and whatever the fuck. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do remember that a lot. That was a good one. Oh, and lunch pails. Anybody remember the goofy lunch pails?
Yeah. I had an Evel Knievel. That was my favorite one.
Oh,
I love Evel Knievel. I mean,
the Evel Knievel
lunchbox, and I had the wind-up
crank. Yeah,
yeah, I had the stunt cycle. That was like my, because he was my first hero, you know, as I was a kid. I mean, I had the, had a poster, I had the Evel Knievel song, and then having all the Evel Knievel stuff. Yeah, it was like one of my favorite. I mean, I still remember what called jumps I made as a kid.
Yeah.
Like the first time I did two somersaults, I would set up encyclopedias in the house because we had a whole set of them. And I used my dad's albums, LPs, for ramps. And one of the favorite ones I used to love, because I just loved the album, was CCR, Cosmos Factory. And that album cover is great. They just look like they're stoned out hippies wearing flannel, sitting in, you know, one guy sitting on 10 speed. I'm like, it's just so awesome. So,
that's how they sound too.
Yeah, I know. It's so perfect.
It is.
But I mean, I had the sky cycle, and I watched the Snake Canyon jump. You know, when he didn't, but I had the sky cycle, and I took it down to my cousin's house because they had a big creek. It was probably 6 or 8 feet across, and I'm like, yeah, I could totally do this. And so I'm cranking, and of course, it goes about 2 feet up and drops right in the middle of the creek. You know?
Just like the actual jump of the
just
canyon.
Like the real jump. I'm like, there you go. Yeah, but the stunt cycle was awesome because that thing would just go for miles. And now those bikes have come back in. There are other people were making them, but they were crap. But the original molds were found, and so you know, the engines. Yeah, so everything actually has been modified. It's actually a little better as far as the shock absorbing and all the things. And you can buy the psychs, the stunt cycle. The you can buy the trail bike. And then limited edition bikes. And then there's guys on YouTube that I watch all the time, or on Facebook, and they have record their videos of them making the jumps, insane jumps over cars and things like that. So yeah, what a, just a great toy. Well, did you have one on Gadfly?
Yeah, I did. I did. The figure, I think, wasn't he like a rubber?
Yeah.
And then he had the metal inside. So at some point, like the wire would break.
Yeah.
And so his arms were always just like this, and then
or like hanging, limp. Yeah.
Well, I used to have.
He even broke his arm.
I had so many of those action figures that were like that. Like I had Spider-Man and Hulk that had those, so you could pose them for about 2 days, and then you'd hear this snap. You know, and it would just be done. You know? And so you'd have these like floppy kind of things. Yeah. The thing I remember first, the first toy that I got was we were on Brunel Street, and it was an astronaut's helmet that was a big dome, and you had the headset and everything. You put it on and you put the dome on, you know, and it would sit on your shoulders. I was so small though that it kept falling down and pinning me in the thing, and I'd have to try to wedge myself up, and then I'd have to try to expand myself while I was playing astronaut. But it was really cool looking. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
There was that.
I was gonna say,
yeah, my cousin had one of those. He had an astronaut helmet too, and it was awesome.
It's like yellow. So cool. It's like this yellow dome and this big white, you know, all the way around.
Yeah. Because it mirrored a little bit of the later action team, like the G.I. Joe stuff. Yeah, because he had also
Major,
an astronaut.
Major Matt Mason. Anybody have that stuff?
No, I had the G.I. Joe, the action team. Was,
Kung Fu I guess grip. That's more my
opinion. And the guys who talked, you know, you pulled out, and then the strings had different colors, so they had like different sayings.
Big Jim.
Yeah,
you press the back.
And I didn't have any gym. I had the. I had the GI
flex. He could flex and make the band go flying off his arm.
Right. Yeah, it was a competition for GI Joe.
The old game Rockin' Sock'em Robots?
Yes,
I had that one. Yeah, that was cool.
I can still
that
hear.
That was really cool. Actually,
when the head comes out, that's.
Yeah, but they break. They break all the time.
Oh yeah.
Well, the new ones are garbage.
And what break and we fix them, and
the
then
new ones are trash.
Yeah,
the old ones were solid plastic. They were substantial. The robots are hollow now.
Yeah,
it's like the mechanisms are cheap. I'm like, oh come on, because my cousin or my niece got one for her children, and I was excited, like, oh Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And I went to play. I go, oh god, it feels like it's gonna break. It's so brittle, and you know, I mean. Yeah,
when I was a kid, when they first came out, they were made out of titanium.
Yes, they were solid.
Adamantium.
No, that was jarred.
Adamantium.
Well, they had that velocity that just.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Yeah, I like that too. You talk about G.I. Joe. Like when I was a kid, I used to get so angry at the disparity of the sizes between dolls and action figures and stuff. You know what I mean? So like I would get Big Jim. And he was always way, forehead shorter than the Steve Austin Bionic Man, one, which was a piece of shit. Like, when I bought, I got that, it was interesting what they did with it. Like, the whole sleeve that you could roll up and pull the modules.
And the bionic eye.
The bionic eye, which looked like he got shot in the eye, when you looked at him. Yeah. And he was huge. Like, he was bigger than everything else. So you're like, I can't play with anything unless you get the Sasquatch or whatever.
The Sasquatch is great.
Yeah, so I would.
Did they offer the Sasquatch? Was it a figure?
Yeah, they did.
I think they had the Bionic Woman too. But the Bionic Man, when I got that, I'm like, that's all the fucking money I got. That's
right.
I'd saved up from forever.
Yeah. I had the capsule that it came in, you could diagnose him and all that stuff like that.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
I had way more Joe stuff though. I had the L-terrain vehicle. Yeah. And the helicopter. The last thing I had, I didn't get the space capsule. My cousins had that. I was always like, oh, God, that's awesome. The last thing I got was like a Jeep. It was towing a trailer that had like a 50 caliber machine gun on it. And like a thing where he had an inflatable raft and like a rappelling equipment. And it was actually like a spring loaded. Like, it was supposed to be like on his back, so he could like shoot up like a rappelling hook. I mean, so that was cool. So I'm like, yeah, we got stairs. We're rappelling tonight.
I had one with the Egyptian adventure where he had the
With the mummy.
Yeah.
The yellow, and the mummy hanging from.
What was the figure that they had that had the wetsuit on, and he had the goggles you could pull up and down, and then you could press you could press the button and he had the flipper feet, and it would. You'd fly around your bathtub or your pool or whatever it was.
Do you remember the ones you could put baking soda in?
Oh,
it was a submarine or a frogman or whatever. Anyway, that would power your...
Yeah, you get those in the cereal box.
Tub toy
in
the bathtub.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, in the sink. Yeah, those are great.
Bathtub for me.
Yeah.
Never put them in the sink. I always put them in the bathtub.
Yeah.
I took a bath every night.
Yeah.
So...
Another line or toy company that was really big in the early 70s for me was Mego.
Yeah.
And I know our fans would be all over that Mego. But I remember having like Batman. Now, when I was a kid, I remembered it being much bigger because I was small, and it was much, but it was probably right. Because I remember, the cowl could come off and the gloves. And I thought, oh, this is so cool. Because, before, when you get something, it was just painted on, So to have removable art clothing was awesome. And I had the Planet of the Apes. I had almost all the Planet of the Apes. I had the Treehouse. Fortress, those were just like the coolest things.
Yeah, the Migos were great, except I would change them into what I wanted them to be. So Superman, I wanted to be Wonder Man. So I actually built glasses for him and stuff and took his suit off, and stuff. And so he would just, run around half naked.
That's funny you said that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
We used to take toys. Broken toys and put them together and other things, make like, especially like the vehicle stuff, you just make these wild. That's funny. That's about the time we were doing models too. So you had access to like plastic glue so you could put these things together. Yeah. Crazy stuff.
Yeah. I used to own one of his creations back in the day. It's called Doll in a Box.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a young child of 48 years old when he made that. 39?
No.
39.
20-something.
Yeah, well, those G.I. Joes were crazy because they were like the first super articulated. Like, they had not only like elbows and wrists, they had like little turn things on the biceps.
Armature was amazing they were selling.
Yeah, I got lucky because when we were living in Ottawa, the kid that lived down the street. Or down the road, I should say, because we were as a country.
Yeah,
road. He had gotten to high school, and he had all this huge collection of G.I. Joe. And he goes, "Hey, you guys!" He knew we were kids, and we were down there. And he's like, "You guys want these?" And we're like, "Hell yeah!" I mean, it was huge. Like, he had all these costumes, he had all these play sets, these things, and we had multiple.
That's probably the original stuff.
Too, it was, yeah. That's why I said, if you had that, if you have that now, that would have been worth a lot of money.
That's a cherry, yeah. Oh, my older cousin. had G.I. Joe. So he was like my older brother. I didn't have a brother, so he was like that for me. So if he liked something, I liked something. Mm-hmm. And he had G.I. Joe, so I had G.I. Joe. Mm-hmm. And he had all these weapons, and that's what I love so much. I came in with the action team, which had a backpack with a compass on it, you know, working stuff. And I liked like the little, you know, you could get a little mess kit with a, you know, little things like that, all the details, the different types of weapons. You can get a belt, a working belt with holsters, and you know, all the different kinds of guns that were available. And you know, that's what I love so much about it, the kung fu grip, and that you could do any kind of scenario. We often mostly played war, because my cousin Gary, or you know, he got a tank. I'm like, so I had to get a tank, you know. And it was a big, I know it wasn't an official Joe tank, but the Joes could fit in. And you know, he painted his all up, so of course I had to do the same thing, you know, try to camouflage it, you know, all that stuff. But no, it was that.
You said the Joes.
Yeah.
The Joes.
You're a real nerd.
I remember having
you're a real nerd.
I know. The Joes. But when your friend's like that, you know, that's what you call them.
The James Bond, like the spy guns, when those were like,
I had those when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I was young. I was young. I was right at the age where I shouldn't have that shit, you know, because it's too old.
The reiteration
that was kind of my young introduction to that whole shit of, you know, more of a collector's item or, you know, something that you want, not necessarily a toy. But
it looks like a pack of cigarettes, but changes into a gun. And yeah.
We also had the Man from U.N.C.L.E. kit. That included a whole bunch of
you could assemble this
thing. yeah
it was like the long, it looked like a long, but you had to assemble it
gun
and
it had all kinds of other stuff in it too.
Then they had his other whatever gun he had. I do remember that stuff. That's funny.
Well, you're talking about the G.I. Joes. I go back before that. Before the G.I. Joes, it was just the little plastic army men.
Yeah, I had those too.
Oh, yeah, the marks.
Yeah. Yes. You have that, but we didn't even have that option. That was it. That was the option for us. So, and the only things we would do with them, we would have tons of them. You get by like 100 pack or something, you know?
Yes.
So we would get over to my friend's house who lived in a living room. They had a nice big wide area that we could set up. So we would set up, it was probably about 6 feet between us, open space. And then we'd take our armies and set them up. And then you'd take, we'd take marbles and roll them.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did the same thing. We just had a Super Bowl.
Same thing on an end
of a table. Yeah. We had them set up. And
but it spent more
turns.
Time putting them up than it
didn't matter. You know? No, it didn't matter.
I just remember getting packs of those, and you'd pull them out and set them up, and then you go, fuck the minesweeper.
You got so many of them. Like, come on, man. Give me a more flamethrower.
Right, yeah,
guy.
Yeah.
I like the flamethrower. He was my favorite.
Right. Since we were doing those. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just thinking of all these toys like this, but I remember being really little at my grandma's, and they pulled out something to keep us occupied, and it was like this really old football game. Everything's all like tin.
Oh, and it was like vibrating.
And it vibrates?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The dumbest fucking game ever. Yeah. Sorry.
No, but my favorite game when I was a kid. I'm not kidding you. I love that game more than any other game I ever played.
It is so fascinating when you're I know.
The vibrating football?
It held my attention.
Electric football? Yeah. I love electric football. I remember, I've had multiple sets. The last one I bought was at a flea market.
Makes
for
$8. A loud noise and just.
Yeah, but you can adjust the buzz. But it didn't matter. I mean, I had a set that allowed you to control like one player. You know, it was like a stick or had a magnet underneath. You can kind of try to guide.
Yes.
I had a version that was just way cheaper than that. It was like a team that was red and a team that was yellow. Solid colors. Yes,
that's it.
You know, and I had it. And in the last one I bought, it had, you know, real NFL teams. And that's why I thought I wanted to do a football league with my cousins, because we got together. We'd play poker once a month.
Yeah.
And I brought it over. I said, we're going to play football tonight. And I thought, oh, my God, we need to get teams. We paint our own teams. We can have a Clashing Cousins football league. Like, oh, yes. But, nope, like great ideas that never took off because they didn't want to take the time to do it.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was still nice to have, you know, and it just harkens back to that, The memory,
I just remember all this.
They just go everywhere.
This was old. Yeah.
I mean, eventually they had the bases where you could turn it. The front to the little prongs were separate. So if you wanted to shift a player, make it go right or left, you could adjust it.
Yeah.
You know, and they expect you could adjust it per play if you needed to.
Which just created, you know, a different chaos.
Yeah. Because then they just all beat the middle. Like, you know, no chaos. One's going. You got to wait for someone to kind of get off to the side.
Yeah.
Was it down by touch? Is that how it was down for you? Like, as soon as the players touch, it was a down?
I think that's how it was. Yeah. I think that's
how I had the quarterback one that came with a quarterback, like action arm quarterback.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I tried the first football I throw, it like landed way outside of the stadium.
Yeah.
It was like, girl, I'm like, what the hell? I can't use this quarterback. he was really big too, because he's also a kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
Do you remember when the toys actually transitioned from being made out of metals more to plastics? Do you guys? I remember having, like, what they call them. Those were plastic, but these plane things, I don't know what the hell they were called, but they're like futuristic-looking plane, but they're like a heavy die-cast, and they're pretty big. You know, maybe.
Like cars are made.
You put them on...
Like cars, not matchbox, bigger size cars.
The die-cast.
Die-cast.
Metal. And you could fold out the wings and all that, but you had like a line that you could put them on and a hook that let them slide down, they would fly. And the robots. What were the robots? Zeroids.
Oh, okay.
Do you guys remember?
I didn't have a Zeroid. I had a robot. It was a robot. I forget what it was
big
called.
Big and all that stuff.
You put discs in its back. And it would follow a pattern. It would like go, and the disc would spin, and it would like tell it to turn left or right. And I had, and then you put some oil in a smokestack, and he would blow smoke. And I just love the smell of that. It was such a strong memory. Like, oh, I love the smell. You know, yeah, I remember having that kind of robot. And for me, it was pretty close. I couldn't get a Robbie.
This was before.
And, you know.
Yeah, it was that. Yeah, cool. I had a tin robot. You know, with a chest open.
Yeah,
I remember one of those. But the Major Matt Mace, I had a lot of space toys. I remember a cheap. It's kind of like the Army Men, you know, where you got the plastic spacemen, you know, you get a bunch of them.
Yeah,
but
I had those too.
And it came with like this moon. And then you had like if you cranked it, a satellite would there was like on a wire. A satellite would go over it. So, but anyway.
Wow, that's pretty awesome.
No, it was. It was really cool. Yeah.
I remember that.
Oh. Did any of you guys have the plastic dinosaurs? Quote-unquote dinosaurs?
Yeah.
I mean, because the ones I remember as a kid, they looked, some of them were dinosaur-like, but one was like a rust monster. If you look at a D&D book, especially first edition D&D, a drawing of a rust monster, like, that's it.
You know, I don't remember that. They were just throwing shit.
It was like, I don't know what these creatures were supposed to be, because there were some that looked like real dinosaurs, and then these were like, what the hell are these? But it didn't matter to me. I was like five, and I'm like, oh, this is so fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. When I was young, you know, between 5 and 12, you know, I was fascinated by dinosaurs, you know, like a lot of kids are, but I had also, I had a really good teacher during that period of time that encouraged
that.
Oh, shoot. Mm-hmm.
When's the first time you saw a beast from 20,000 fathoms? Is that about that time? Maybe.
God, man, who knows?
I don't know. I'm just curious.
I have no idea when I first saw that. I have no idea.
Yeah. If you're, you know, if that kind of melded into the dinosaur thing.
Anything that was coming out, you know.
You always said you liked.
I probably did watch it. I probably saw it. I don't know.
You
know,
I just don't remember. Like the one. What was that called? Dinosaurs. So the one with the caveman and the two dinosaurs. You said you've always liked that one. or whatever, for whatever reason.
So you guys talked about the You talked about the vibrating football things. Did you talk about the little handheld electronic things that the little dot that we used to go up and down?
Yeah, the red LED. Coleco quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, love that one.
Oh, my God. My dad got addicted to any of those things.
Right.
The little 8-bit thing. It's like he had like – my mom was like going crazy. He had like all of these like football games, all these whatever the fuck they were.
But, oh, I loved it. I can still remember the song, like, "Every You Score a Touchdown." It's probably been 50 years since I played. Right?
Yeah. The other one was, I remember when I got my Merlin. You know what I mean?
Oh,
Played all the different games and stuff like that. Yeah, it had that really cool design. You know, it looked like a phone almost.
Two telephones, the cat dog of telephones.
Right.
What was that thing that you guys had that we used for the console for the space set? The thing we had to look through?
Oh, yeah, that viewer.
Yeah.
It was that 3D what was viewer. That?
What were those called? The things where you...
Viewmaster.
No, this thing was... You know what I'm talking about.
I know, but it was on that same principle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a...
But it was some kind of a game. It was a game. Yeah. You had to look in the thing and... Yeah.
We used it because it looked kind of cool.
Yeah. And it broke. Yeah, it was broke by the time we used it.
Well, the handheld craze. Yes. I thought there was a lot of those LED games came out, or LCD, I think. Was it LED? No, the right light emitting diodes. Yeah, the football games, basketball games. I had a baseball game.
Tennis? But
Mattel, there was a tennis, yes. This was before Atari.
Hank! Just before Atari, yeah.
But the Mattel had this, like, racing game where it had a physical steering wheel and a little stick and a plastic car on it that you could move, and three lanes of, like film strips with cars that would come at, like, different speeds. And you had to kind of weave them. I mean, you could shift back and forth.
My dad got us a fake video game like that, and it was something like that, but it was like Pong, but it was like literally a stick that bounced around and you physically hit it behind a screen and it was lit, so it looks like Pong. I think about that now, but it's just hilarious. That's just before all that stuff.
Yeah, because the handheld craze came in and it took over. I mean, and then those games turned into like the little Game Boys, and then the handheld stuff now, like with everyone in the house has Nintendo Switch, and they play Animal Crossing and all those other games, and they're gorgeous, like just absolutely gorgeous. But to see the evolution of how far those games have come, and I still kind of miss the red dots, man. I still kind of miss those days.
When it's funny, when I was a kid, I would build my own stuff. If I didn't have a toy that I wanted, I would create something of my own. So, like, I was obsessed with Hanna-Barbera when I was younger, and you'd get these little big books, that would just have Hanna-Barbera in them, but in the inside, these thick cardboard covers would have all of the Hanna-Barbera characters in there. So I would carefully cut each one of those out, and I'd try to mount it on something like putty or something. Yeah. And then I don't know if you remember this, Professor Feather, when we were in Ottakee, one part of my bedroom, I built an entire village that was like the Hanna-Barbera village. And I built it out of Lincoln logs and Legos and stones. I would be paths and streets, and everybody had their house, and they'd be around all there. And I just sit there and play with that fucking all day long. The other one that I made.
That's like,
go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm just laughing at building your own stuff and creating your own.
It's beautiful. I want to see it.
Yes.
It was so much fun. Just to have that. I wake up in the morning, I'd be like, what are they doing today?
Sure.
But the other one, I don't remember this, is I used to make pipe cleaner men. Because they were great because you could pose them and do all kinds. They were really light, and it was just two pipe cleaners. You had the head that you twisted, the arm, and then you twisted the other one around the head and made the body, and then you had the legs. And so you could pose
boxes. Cut boxes. If you could finagle and crayons or marker, paints, whatever, boxes became, our cardboard in general, it just became
I think we were ripe for all of that because, you know, there was TV, you know, and then there was Saturday morning TV, which was trying to sell you kids everything. It was
either, but it wasn't social media though either.
Well, it wasn't, you know? but it was like,
so you had to focus.
Yeah, I mean, toys. It was, that's how you knew what they were buying. I mean, you'd get that or you get the Sears catalog, and Sears that's how we knew. Right. But so Saturday mornings is like you knew what toys
were. Which is a whole nother experience, the Sears Christmas catalog.
Oh, that was I loved that. It was like, oh, look at all these things.
It was like that thick, and it was just like.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, TV was trying to sell us either cereal, toys, or fast food. You know what I mean? Like, it was, you know, it's no wonder, you know.
But growing up, I remember the, like, CBS was showing, like, shit from Vietnam and stuff. That kind of, like, made a little scar on me.
Not for me. That was after, I was after that.
No, no, but I remember that happening. That was weird. It was, because I, just pictures, but enough to. I remember that.
Yeah. Well, they also had those gimmicks, you know, that were like one-offs. So you would do a Shrinky Dink. You remember those? Where you get those sheets and you'd have, they were really thin. You'd cut them out and then you put them in the oven.
Yeah,
you could color them. And then you put them in and they get real thick and small.
Yeah, you make them like, or like you could make little stained glass window kind of things, hang them like window hangers.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I
like those transformative ones.
Yeah. I love that the ones I got were all the Hanna-Barbera Shrinky Dinks, you know, and that's how I learned to draw, was because I started drawing Fred Flintstone and Barney Rubble and all that kind of stuff. And Professor Feather just gave me a painting that I did that had from what I was like 5 years old or whatever, or 6 years. How old? I don't know how old I was. Seven, maybe. Fred. Yeah. But I used to draw his face all the time, and Barney and all, you know, all of them. So
that's great. I like the toys too. Like when you're at the store, you know, they really are good at having a nice toy section. When we go to the drugstore, you know, and I would always, more often than not, get something. And I'd liked the cheap toys too. Like, to me, getting a balsa wood airplane that I put together into a glider.
Yep.
To me, that was fun as much as like a guy in a parachute, you know, a little parachute guy.
You throw up.
I got him a combination.
Yeah, you throw him up, right. You know, and to me, it didn't need to be an expensive toy. I was just as delighted with that. Or
oh, no.
Even like the bubble stuff, you know, the day glow or the blue bubble stuff you put on the end of a pipe and you blow it up and it turns into like a giant bubble, you know.
I
remember that had a great smell. It was like bubble elastic.
My mom
like
hated that stuff.
Super elastic.
You got that shit all over. Yeah, it was awful. It was like a latex.
Yeah. It was wonderful. You just put a bunch of a glob of it at the end of a little pipe, and just blow the pipe, and it makes this giant, you can play with it for a while. And then it turned into like a jellyfish. It like collapsed on you, and you got to peel it off. Exactly. It burns.
But it's funny, as a kid, you'd have all these sophisticated toys. They're getting more and more sophisticated, but you would still play with like the paddle with the ball on it or a yo-yo. You know, you're like, oh, the yo-yo is kind of cool, you know.
And,
you know, even to this day, I still see, you know, kids with yo-yos. We were just at the night market here, and there was these two kids that just had these yo-yos, and they were doing all kinds of cool stuff. And they were like probably like 10 years old, 11 years old. And I thought that, I'm like, that's awesome.
Did you ever do a pogo stick?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I tried.
I got hurt. Yeah, I got hurt a lot.
Yeah. It's like one and done for me, man. I'm like, nope, I'm going to die. This thing's going to like,
I did
nope.
A little bit. I got a little pogo in it.
We learned very quickly that you don't pogo next to any kind of wall. And don't be anywhere near a wall, because you hit that rock and it shoots you off into the wall. And you're like, oh, shit.
No, preferably a big open driveway, but
full of gravel that you'll impale yourself.
Yeah, not on gravel. Yes, which is a big mistake too.
Yes, no. Those kinds of things. I tried to skateboard. Like, nope, that wasn't it. My center of gravity. I'm like the opposite of a Weeble. You know, when I was a kid. So,
Weebles was the Knievel stuff. Weebles were great.
Yeah.
The Knievel thing?
Yeah. Skateboarding is interesting because, you know, it was a fad when I was a teenager, and then it went out of style for quite a while, and then came back, and then that's when it became like huge, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, we had, you know, Jen and Dean or somebody skateboard surf song about skateboarding. I don't know what it was, but yeah. And I had one, and yeah, I liked it, but I never really, I just drive it down the road, in the country. So,
Feather wasn't riding the rail anywhere.
No.
So when we were living in Texas, Ohio, I remember the one Christmas we get up and we're unwrapping. We got, I think it was two dolls or two Migos, and they were Star Trek. One was Spock and one was Bones. And it was because they were sold out of Kirk. You know what I mean? But then we also then had the play set.
Bones, put your pigeon.
Was the bridge of the Enterprise. Yeah. And that thing was fucking cool. And here's the thing. Jason and I had no fucking clue what Star Trek was at all. It was something that you watched, and you're like, oh, this is really cool. So it was like, you're like showing us everything. You're like, this is this. And it was great because it had the captain's chair and then the screen was up there, but the screen had these little cards that you could just hang them up on there. And that would be what you were looking at. And then off to the side would be the transporter. You'd stick the guy in there. You'd click the button. It would spin. And if he was in the green one, you'd hit the red button. And it would look like he was disappeared, but it'd be on the other side, and you could pull him out.
And didn't it have like a picture of like the sparkly stuff?
Yes. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's great. Those little details though are what make the play so believable when you're a kid.
Yeah.
It's like the little things. Like if you could make a cardboard box into a spaceship, that's great. We all did that, but to have those little things was what really helped me immerse. Mm-hmm. That this was real. And it didn't take much. Like my Planet of the Apes Mego figure, that was the Taylor figure, had a helmet with a visor that you could bring down and cover his eyes.
Nice.
That, to me, like, okay, it's real. I mean, that was just like cool little detail that was like, that's all it takes. And to have those little things like the spinning, transporter, that to me is ingenious because it does really make play. So
they had a Dracula like that, a little toy that, he gets in there and you like flip it and it's like a skeleton on the other side.
I don't know what the company was, but I had a vampire and a mummy and a Frankenstein. They were like six 8-inch figures and early 70s. And I remember we had a hot dog cooker. It was electric hot dog cooker where you could like you could put six hot dogs in between two like little spiky poles. You brand them in and you close a lid on it and you plug it in, turn it on, and it cooked the hot dogs from inside. And I used that as the machine to bring Frankenstein to life. Because to me, it looked like the team, like, oh my good God, idea, the electrical arc. Because you could see, I was cooking, like watching the electrical arc cooking these hot dogs. I'm like, fuck, that's for Frankenstein. Yeah. So, I mean, my mom didn't care, but I just thought, that's what made it believable. I'm going to cook Frankenstein like a hot dog.
Yeah, that was the thing, too, about the toys is that, when it started to become merchandising, because, we got those Star Trek toys, and we didn't watch Star Trek until we got those toys, and then we're like, oh, there's this thing called Star Trek. And then we were like, oh, Star Trek is great. So we would play with the Star Trek toys when Star Trek was on. But then there was the Planet of the Apes TV show. And so we had those, Migos, and we would play with those whenever the Planet of the Apes TV show was on, which had essentially Starsky and Hutch with gliders. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what that was. But those kinds of things.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just saying those kinds of things. The merchandise. That's when the merchandising began.
Right. Yeah. But does
I'd love to have Kolchak, the Night Stalker. I would have loved to have had that series. It only lasted one series. It didn't do particularly well when it came out, sadly. But I wanted Kolchak. I've seen people make them now. Kolchak, and there's the vampire. I've seen that one. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah, been a 3D printing, man.
Yeah. Yeah, the true. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to have fully articulated like Amigo, because there's a couple of monsters that I want. I was really, the Rakshasa was always scary, and then the
Bayou swamp, monster.
The Bayou monster was scary, and then the zombie. I mean, come on, man.
Oh yeah. No, the Eric Estrada. That's really fucking creepy.
It is. Ooh. It is. Yeah. That one, yeah, when he came to life. But yeah, I remember screaming on that episode, The Zombie. We were all watching it, and when he poured the salt into its mouth and getting ready to bring the needle down, and the zombie opens his eyes, we all screamed. I mean, we just lit out. Like, so it has cemented its role. And I listen to it when I'm doing my work. I'll put it on in the background.
Yeah.
Because I just love the dialogue. It's funny, you know. I love the music, you know. That's great.
That would have been great.
Does anybody remember Monster Magnet? Yeah.
Yes.
But there was another one.
There's a band called Monster Magnet.
Yeah, but the big arch. Yeah, Monster Magnet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stupid toy. All you could do is like stick it. Oh, it sticks. Oh, it doesn't stick to that. It sticks to this. Not that.
Well, the one that, again, the other craze was Stretch Armstrong and Stretch Monster.
Yeah.
Do you remember those?
Yeah.
When it was funny.
Yeah, we had one break.
Yeah.
Fifth grade, one broke open, and we saw all the goo inside, like, oh my God.
Which is toxic as hell. You know what I mean? Like, they don't do that anymore.
Oh, I thought it was just corn syrup. Yeah.
There was a bunch of shit in there because it was funny because if it got cold, you know, it would be not very pliable. Right. That's when it would break. But it was so soft, you could convince kids, you'd go under the bus and you'd be like, it's real soft, hit it. And if you hit it, it's just like,
oh, it's hard. Oh, yeah. Hard as a rock.
You'd stretch it and stuff. Those were the dumbest fucking toys.
Wow, you bully. Yeah.
They were so stupid. You know, like I look at them now and people are like, oh, look at Stretch Armstrong, Stretch Monster. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
You broke my Stretch Armstrong.
I mean, I think one of the most like useless toys I ever had was a big, or my cousin had it. I don't know if I had it or he had it. It was a big Spider-Man. And the size was great, but it had one arm up. And it like could pull him up, had a string that came out, and he would just go up and down.
Right.
His legs, there were no articulation. No, it was just up. It was just solid. It was like, you know, and I'm like, what the hell can you do this? His legs don't bend. I'm like, this is the worst Spider-Man toy ever, you know?
That's those collapsible toys. Remember, they have the little stand, and you push up under the stand, and they have strings that are holding her together, and the strings go taut, and they fall down. And then they pop back up.
Oh, I remember those things.
Yeah.
Yeah,
those were pretty cool.
I remember those. Those are awesome.
They would make everything out of those. You know what I mean? Like everything got that
little tourist things that they would sell.
Yeah, now you could push on different parts of the bottom and kind of make them move differently.
Oh, and so I was like,
I'm going to learn puppetry. I thought, I'm going to make a movie like this. You could make them like drill. But it was pretty limited. Like, that's going to be a boring movie. He's just going to flop around.
It's a
like
puppet.
Every zombie movie.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Yeah,
any last words to say about toys? I think our lives have been
things I would have liked to fun. Gotten.
Yeah.
Did anybody ever get anything from the back of comic books?
Oh yeah, I got X-ray goggles. I got
a monkey mask. I got some.
I bought the what was the
Monster Club?
What was
Rhesus the monkey? I got a monkey. No.
What was the ones that were just shrimp? But it was the fancy
sea monkeys.
I got the sea monkeys.
Yeah, I got some.
Yeah,
nothing happened.
Not look, they look nothing. Yeah. And they're cannibals. They're
where
eating
are
each other.
They?
They don't last very long.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I had them too. They were disappointing.
Yeah, me too.
The container looked better than anything else. You know.
Oh my God! Yeah,
and I wanted them to be more like fish. You know, that was my goal. Like, oh, I'll keep these sea monkeys alive. You know, and they'll breathe.
When you're reading that, you could train your sea monkeys.
Yeah, they follow light. They are attracted to light. Yeah, but they
die
really
quickly.
And if
they look like these little people,
I know that's what I was wondering. I'm like,
same here.
Awesome. I want to talk to them. I want to see what their little monkey world is like. You know. Well, I think we've said all we said. Kids and toys.
Oh. We could do like three other versions of this. This would be like,
oh yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, we haven't even gotten to the video games.
It was fun. Stuff.
Yeah,
it's nostalgia, you know,
or Star Wars toys. Yes. You know.
Oh my God! Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, that's part two coming
for
soon.
For another time.
Yeah, you guys.
In a galaxy far, far,
far, far away.
Part far away. All right, groovy inmates.
Damn.
Oh, that's my Herman.
I'm kind of thrown off here. What happened to the flesh? This is a low budget episode. Thank you.
The new flesh.
And you have been experiencing
a thoroughly flushed.
Fresh. The unflushable.
.com. That says it all. Take her away, Montag.
Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the Facebook. Heavy Metal Horror Podcast on the YouTubes. Montag Lewis, one word, at Instagram. Heavy Metal Horror. We've got enough shows, and we got a new co-host. His name is Nemo. He's going to be joining us for our horror stuff, and we've got a lot of horror stuff coming up. Horror.
First episode, when he's come back and sculpt, Finding Nemo.
Ah, you fucking beat me to it. God damn it.
I knew it.
I was going to say, we're back.
Not nematodes.
Where the second episode is called, and throwing him back.
Yeah, I was going to say, where did you find Nemo?
That's a officially pronounced nematode.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, okay. That's okay.
Nematode.
Most people make that mistake.
That's kind of like the cartoon with little nematode. So over Paris, yes. Little runaway.
And the Midnight Gadfly will be.
Yeah, you guys.
Wait. Throwback.
Wait a minute, Doc.
Yeah, that's good, man. I missed that.
Touchy, touchy.
Now I feel like I'm 50 again.
Yeah.
The good old days.
Remember back in Auto 3? 50?
When we were Martian? Yeah.
I don't find that very funny.
No, I saw.
Get
I saw
off my lawn, you 50-year-old. Name it.
Game Boy playing.
Young whippersnapper.
Old me, you let me down.
You kids in your Starbucks.
What the fuck is with these roundabouts?
Yeah. You're talking like my language.
And by the way, I hate those things.
I hate those things.
I'm so confused.
Where am I going? I don't know. No one's slowing down. God damn it.
Everybody has to yield.
Itself. I hate him.
You'll love him. Watch the movie Night on Earth by Jim Jarmusch.
Yes.
Then you'll love roundabouts.
They're in the boots. In Canada, they're in the boots.
Oh, Canada. I'd like to give a shout out to Angine de Boxtree.
Opening for who? Jack Black. No.
No, Jack White.
Jack White.
Well, there is a music noir right there.
I miss when this used to be our ending song. Butter and make it better. Churn the butter and make it better.
I was doing a scene from Buckethead's horror of Party Beach when they were doing
the dance. Okay, you guys continue on. I have to go.
Yeah, we're done. Yeah, we're good. Okay. Let me fade this out.